Hey everybody, Rob here with a little bit of a teaser for a show that we're doing for the patrons. So last season, we did a Survivor Q&A on Fridays for the patrons, and then we had a feedback show on Monday where we also took questions from the listeners. What I wanted to do this season was consolidate all of the questions from the audience into one podcast. That's what this is, the Patron Feedback Show. You're going to hear about the first 35 minutes of that show that I did on Friday. The rest you can hear in the Patron feed at robiswebsite.com/patron. Love to have you there. Greatest reality TV community in the world. People from all over connecting about the shows and the games that they love all over the world. And we have a Patron Facebook group, Patron Discord, exclusive content like this, access to our live show tickets and discounts. Not to mention, we make it very easy for you to watch all your favorite international reality TV shows. That's at robiswebsite.com/patron. I will be getting into listener feedback. You're going to hear patrons calling into this show. We'll do all of that. I also, this weekend, will have another special piece of patron content where we'll check in with Mike Bloom about his trip to Fiji. Then on Monday, I'll be back with a show in the main feed, Club Condo, talking about all the nonsense from this week in Survivor. So, hope you enjoy this teaser for our first patron feedback show of the season. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sesternino back here. We've got the feedback show here for premiere week of Survivor 46, a patron feedback show here with you. Let me set up what we're doing here today because doing things a little bit different here for Survivor 46. So let me explain what I have in mind for us here. Of course, we're a couple of podcasts into the Survivor 46 first week. I was with Franny right after the episode for the post-game show. We had our exit interview, talked to Stephen Fishback on the Know-It-Alls. But this season, I wanted to not duplicate things that we were doing here on the podcast. So in Survivor 45, I did a Survivor Q&A, took patron questions on Friday. That is this podcast. But now, this is the feedback show. We're taking your questions. We're taking your voicemails. And we'll hear from the patrons. And we'll do that every week here on the Patron Feedback Show. On Monday, I'll still do a podcast. And what I've done is I've sort of like sorted out the feedback show. Used to be one show. We'd talk about the strategy. We'd talk about the wacky and it'd be all in one show. I've sorted it out. I've said, let's put all the strategy here with the patrons. People can call in. They can ask their questions. We can get in the weeds. And then on Monday, let's get weird. Okay. Monday, Club Condo, Chappelle will be joining me all season long as we look for the fun. As Mike White asked Jeff Probst, is it fun? We'll find out on Mondays here as Club Condo kicks off on Monday. So strategy today, a little bit of a mullet on your weekend of business up front, party in the back. This is the Patron Show. You can send us your voicemails, send us your questions, call in. Let's talk about what you have to say. This is the People's Podcast here today as we get into everything about Survivor 46. You can also post your questions here live in the chat. Here we go. Dapple says, Rob, putting in work several days a week. Yes, absolutely. 24/7 here on RHAP. Okay. Tara says, boo strategy. Yay, nonsense. Okay. Shout out Courtney. And so, look, if you don't love strategy, look, we got Monday coming up, Club Condo, not to mention everything that's going on over the weekend with the B&B, Why Blank Lost, and Survivor News, I believe it's already out with the Purple Pants podcast. So got all that going on. Let me also just quickly mention tickets for Chicago for our patrons. This is the last call. I believe Sam Moore had told me we're down to, how many tickets are we down to? What's the 50. Number? 50.
50. 50.
50. Okay. Out of 800 seats, 50 are left. The public has the link. So patrons, please. I hate getting the message from people like, but I want it to come. Okay. We're getting close to it. So if you are holding out, if you're on the fence, then this is, don't mess around. Okay, people. Okay. All right. Let's take some questions. Nolan had been on hold, and let's go to Nolan and then I'll play a voicemail. How about that? Here's Nolan. Lots of people filing in here. So let's get to your questions. Nolan.
What's up?
Nolan, you're on with Rob Cisternino. What's going on?
What's good? Do I sound all right?
You sound great, Nolan. How are you?
Awesome.
Nolan is taking a break. That amazing. Nolan has been binge listening to Robin Akiva Need a Podcast and is up to, what, episode 103-ish?
105.
Wow.
I'm at the mailbag of 105. So
hey, almost at truck 108.
We're getting there. And, you know, with the spring reality wave coming in, it's going to be a lot more challenging to get those listened to, but I'm up for the challenge.
Okay. It's going to be a fun Renap this weekend. Uncle Kiwi and I already recorded part one. And so we got a big part two coming up later on this weekend as we are on the search for Renap's most interesting listener.
Awesome. I set the deadline by Chicago. I want them all listened to. I better be caught up by then. So we'll see.
All right. May 8th. Okay. Nolan, what's happening?
Not much, man. I'm excited, as always, for a premiere of Survivor. I will say the buildup and the excitement didn't really have that because of Australian Survivor. I was in the weeds of that.
Australian Survivor has been exceptional. Big, great week five. We're not doing Q&A. I was originally going to podcast with Shannon Gus this week and do a check-in. I think maybe next week we're going to do the check-in with Shannon, but I am chomping at the bit to talk about the Titans and the Rebels.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, beginning of the week, you know, no spoilers, but you know, it's been awesome. It's been firing.
It got better as the week went on.
Yeah, it did.
Definitely. Tough L earlier in the week for the people that say Australian Survivor much better than New Era Survivor.
Yeah, I had my buddy to jump in on this season, and I was hyping it up, and he's only watched the first week, and he's like, "This is awful. What is this?" And I was like, "Just keep watching.
Keep going. Okay. Well, first you got your mom to watch, and then now you're getting your friends to watch.
Trying to.
You're a great evangelist of Australian Survivor, Nolan.
I've gotten one so far. I've gotten one convert to U.S. Survivor, one convert to Australian Survivor.
All right. Well, let's talk U.S. Survivor because that's what we're here to do.
Yes. Yes. Premiere day. It was off to a hitch. I was so excited, ready to watch it. I have my gripes, right? And I'm ready to air them out.
Go for it. What's your gripe, Nolan?
Do we need Sweat and Savvy anymore? Are we over it?
You know what? Yeah, I hear you. You know, like, I think that this has been, of course, with talking with Jeff, I think that this has been a week where we're really like kind of taking stock of like, okay, what do we like in the new era? Like, what could we phase out? Yeah, I'm not really sure what we're buying. Okay. Do you mind? Aaron is on hold that he says he's ready to defend Sweat and Savvy.
Oh, yeah. Bring him on. Okay. I love Aaron.
All right. Here's Aaron. Aaron, how are you?
Hi, friends. I'm really good. How are you? Hi, Nolan.
Great.
Hi, Rob.
Aaron is here to defend Sweat and Savvy. Okay, so let's hear the counterpoint. Why is Sweat and Savvy bad? No, I want to hear from Nolan first why it's bad.
I mean, the things that I don't like about the Sweat and Savvy is what we got in especially 44 and now 46, where there really wasn't much of a choice. Someone was always going to be losing their vote in some way. And also, it's, you know,
Hold on. They don't lose their vote on Sweat and Savvy.
Or I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the journey, but Sweat and Savvy, my bad. I'm jumping ahead. Yeah. Sweat and Savvy. I mean, it's just, we've seen all outcomes of it. Yeah. I found myself kind of just, you know, we've seen it from time and time again. It's a tough task to do. It's a hard puzzle to solve.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
And I feel like it's just ran its course.
Yeah. Let me pile on here, Aaron, because it's also, like, I feel it's 2-on-1 now because I feel like that. Why doesn't everybody just pull a Jelinski and quit? What do I need my pot and my machete for if I'm going to get it in 2 days anyway? What am I going to kill myself for? Like, they said that Jelinski, he got like a million cuts on his feet and it was horrible. Like, I just did the marooning challenge. I got another immunity challenge in 2 days. I got nothing, no supplies. I'm going to kill myself for the pot. Like, I get it where it was like, all right, Gio and the other guy, Ryan. That they were like, okay, Ryan, they're going to, okay, I just got to dig up. I'm like, find like a coconut in the sand. Okay. But I'm going to like kill myself for the pot and the machete? For what?
I wouldn't be signing up for it. I know that.
I would do Savvy for sure, but yeah, keep me away from Sweat. 100%.
Yeah. Okay, so why is it good?
I am, from the perspective of somebody who is watching the show, I think it serves its purpose beautifully because it sets up each of these two tribes and really has both of them faced with a decision. We love Jeff and his decisions, but we learn so much about both of these tribes, both of the people who are stepping up to do these challenges. And I think more kind of significant than the tweaks and ins and outs of what would make it a workable or like pros and cons of each individual challenge, I think they serve their purpose beautifully as storytelling devices and character devices.
Yeah.
Because we learned so much about Jelinski. We learned so much about Q.
Okay. That's fair. I think that it speaks to an issue that potentially there is in New Era Survivor, where I think that their biggest fear is that, what if nothing's happening? What if it's boring? Mm. Okay. So rather than the possibility, it could be boring because now we've got only 26 days. So we've really got to fill these days up because what if we have like a dud or 2 days? It's like, all right, we're going to make sure there's an activity that's planned that we're going to be able to show because maybe with three tribes, maybe it's boring. I'm showing three different tribes making their shelter. So, okay, one tribe will show them building their shelter. The other tribe will show them doing this task. The other tribe will show them doing this task. And then that's sort of like, okay, especially we've got to fill these 2 hours. So I think it ends up coming a little bit. It's less about the gameplay. And I do think it's more about, okay, how do we like program the first episode?
On the On Fire podcast the other day with Dee, Jeff mentioned one of the game designers told him that the best games are not themselves interesting. They make the people playing them interesting. And I think that perspective is really shows here.
Yes. And you know what? And in fairness to you, Aaron, I do feel like that in terms of like the things that we got out of the finale or the premiere, Jelinski breaking the hourglass, like was a pretty iconic moment. And like, it was incredible. Probably the best Sweat and Savvy moment of the new era. Yeah. Nolan, what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, he probably just thought it was going to, reverse the outcome of the challenge. Dude,
yes.
Right? I mean, that's what he was thinking.
Turn the time back. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That makes sense.
Nolan, all right. So you don't like Sweat and Savvy. Maybe that changed your mind. Anything else that you wanted to talk about?
Well, I did want to, I brought up the journey, kind of jumped ahead there.
Hold
too,
on. Can I, like, Nolan, I have to interrupt you here for a second. Michael
fine.
In the chat lets us know, just got a notification to watch Elsbeth on Paramount Plus.
Yes.
Okay. Everybody, check it out. Elsbeth, now available on Paramount Plus, available to stream anytime on Paramount Plus and CBS.
She's a bit unconventional.
We need to get someone on the podcast to come up with a magnifying glass. So every so often, every 20, maybe Sam pops up.
Yeah. Okay.
That'd be great.
All right.
But yeah, no, the journey, kind of the same thing with Sweat and Savvy. Like, you know, in 41 and 42, the journey was, you know, we got more of them talking and walking and like, it was more people based. Now it's more advantage based. And what I brought up earlier was like, now we're forcing people to end up having to lose their vote, like in 44 and here in 46. And that's not fun, I don't think. Mike White wouldn't agree with that being fun, I don't think.
Okay, Aaron, could you defend the journey from this one? Because I thought this was the best of the journeys.
I agree. This was my favorite journey that they've done. And for reasons that, like, for the same reason I'm defending Sweat and Savvy, I think it was so well-designed in that it was a simple, I mean, maybe not simple to explain, but it was a simple game to play that showed so much about Maria, so much about Tevin, so much about Jelinski.
Yeah.
And I do not think that it was a lose-lose situation for Jelinski. That's neither here nor there.
How would you have played it, Aaron? You get the Jelinski card. You're going to lie your face off.
It is entirely dependent you on would. The tribe you you're would. About to go back. Yep. Yes, of course. I mean, if I'm in Jelinski's position, going back to a tribe of people who needed me to bring a goodie back, who needed to show that there was something they could rely on me
but
for.
But I have to say, yes, this is I'm new. Lying. This is I'm kind of with Jelinski here because that, hold on, the tribe needs me to go on the journey and go get an extra vote? Since when? Yeah. It used to be, oh, he has an extra vote. He goes home. Now it's that I have to go, I'm getting an extra vote for my tribe?
I know, Survivor's crazy that way, isn't it? But he was on a tribe of people, especially Q, who really valued unity and cohesion and wants to build a strong team. Jelinski made a lot of choices in this episode that benefited one person, mm-hmm. and it was Jelinski. Even though, obviously, they didn't benefit him, I think that that was his calculus, and he was scrabbling for any little advantage that he could make for himself. And for him to go out on this journey and, again, choose himself and maybe even possibly choose, like, give material advantages to the other tribe at the possibility of there being cross-tribal relationships at the disadvantage of the people he's coming home to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would have kept lying. Even if I lost,
yeah.
I was fighting for my tribe.
Okay.
I just think maybe, like, he could have pitched it a little bit better when he yeah. got back. Like,
no doubt.
Yeah.
That was what I was like, because, you know, if I'm Jelinski, like, yeah, well, you know, I've learned that I should just be honest with what happened. And then when he's honest, then everyone's like, well, what the hell, man? Like, I get that from that point.
Yeah. Okay.
And this was a fun journey then compared to
it was fun.
44 was ridiculous. Even the one in 43, I think, was a little ridiculous. But yeah, I think maybe they could have done this one just a little bit differently to where maybe someone had a bit more of a choice.
Okay. All right. Nolan, thank you so much for the call.
Yeah, no problem. Okay.
All right. Aaron, while you're here, I mean, you jumped in on this, but I'm assuming you had your own question.
Yeah, and it is about the journey, funnily enough.
Okay, we're here.
Yes, fantastic. So I want to, I love the journey, and I loved the journey specifically in this episode, and I think I want to look at it like, you know how there's long game and short game?
Yeah.
I think that there was a way for Jelinski to win this small game, but I think the reason that he sort of ran into trouble was because in the context of the big game that it's sitting in, winning, I guess his version of winning the small game ruined his big game. I don't know if this is making sense, but the way that I see this, in addition to thinking long-term and short-term,
yeah.
like these castaways in the journey specifically now moving forward are going to be presented with these small games that they can treat however they want to treat them. But these small games sit in the context of their bigger game of Survivor.
Yeah, I think I'm following what you're saying, Aaron, because I feel like that if we bring it like through the prism of Sandra, where, mm-hmm. okay, anybody but me, just get through tonight's tribal council. Like you could be so fixated on your long-term game mm-hmm. that you don't realize that you get voted out just once, your game's over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, that's kind of on the contingency of long versus short. And when we visualize the game on a timeline that exists, but even in this specific one moment that exists in one frozen bit of time, there are still two games being played out on that mm-hmm. Out on that little sand spit. You know, it was
right.
both a small game that these three people are just playing to maybe get a vote, but also the big game, which Maria recognized and kind of dangled a big game threat in front of Jelinski if he played the way he was playing.
Right.
Yeah, it's just I wonder if you see any validity in this.
Well, so you feel like that Jelinski ended up at the sacrifice of his short term game. He opted towards the longer term game. And if I could have all the plans in the world, but if I go out and get hit by a bus, then my long term plans are over because my short term mm-hmm. plan was bad.
Yeah, I think he both chose long term success and small game success. When his danger, Jelinski's danger spots were in short-term game mm-hmm. and big game of Survivor. That is where he needed to patch his, like the holes in the hull.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the bucket.
They weren't allowed to.
Okay. Yes. They weren't
according to Jelinski, he said they weren't allowed to.
You know, he said that they were. He said it just couldn't be done. I asked him about stick your fingers in the holes. Like he said okay. that the bucket you couldn't get your hands around it. I see Catherine in the. Was it Catherine yesterday that was suggesting the two buckets line up? but
I think that would have been smart.
Yeah. What are you going to do? All right.
Yeah.
Aaron, thank you so much for the call. Okay.
My pleasure.
All right. Talk to you soon.
I have not watched Traitors yet, so I'm going to be watching it tonight.
All right.
I'm
enjoy
very excited.
It. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Nice talking to you.
Bye. You know, let me pick up Liz, who's on hold. Okay. Liz, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Rob?
Very good. Okay. This is not Liz from Survivor. Okay.
No.
Okay.
But Liz from Survivor. So my grandma recently passed.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Liz. So
it's okay. It was like expected. We knew it was coming. But Liz has the same last name as my grandma and my mom's maiden name. So I thought that was just kind of like a little cool sign from the universe.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that is cool. Liz, what's going on?
Not much. Well, first of all, I don't really call into these things.
But appreciate you coming on.
But I always listen at 2x, so you sound very slow to me right
now.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask. So Tiffany was also my winner pick for coming into the premiere. Now that we've seen the premiere, I wanted to ask you, do you still feel good about having Tiffany?
I feel great about having Tiffany. Yeah. I mean, it was a little bit controversial because originally I had Hunter number one as the person I wanted to draft. My wife said, you can't have Hunter. That's my winner pick. I said, okay. And then I didn't get him in the draft. I took Tiffany was number two. I took Tiffany, but Rob's fact checker, who's my go-to source, says my winner pick is Hunter. So I don't know where I stand, but I feel better about
the two.
Yes, I would
now.
Pick Tiffany. I would pick Tiffany. I feel better about Tiffany than I do about Hunter.
I felt really good about Tiffany's premiere as well. My one concern is maybe it was a little bit circumstantial with all the idol finding, but I think multiple times we got to hear her like talk about how she is an artist and relate it back to her career, which I thought was really, really positive.
Yeah, I think that she had a lot of positive things going for her. She does seem to have like the right spirit of like, I'm gonna go for it. I'm going for the idol hunting. I mean, in terms of screen time, she got like a nice amount that you would want for somebody who's gonna potentially be the winner. It looks like she's set up really well in her tribe, where you can't even envision a scenario where Tiffany is the person who goes home. Like, you really like how is that even happening?
Right. So I know during the podcaster draft, there was some debate about whether the orange or the green tribe was going to
I was
be
wrong.
The disaster
I was
tribe.
I was very wrong about this. We made a YouTube short about this where the things Rob got wrong, and I actually wish I would have as the third thing I got wrong. I thought that the orange tribe, I thought that the Nami tribe was going to be the disaster tribe. And the tribe I thought was going to be very good in the challenges was the tribe that was the disaster tribe. So I don't know why they're bad. I asked Jelinski this yesterday, like, why are you doing bad? And there was no good answers.
Yeah. So do we think the purple tribe is going to be the disaster tribe, or are they going to be able to get it together next week?
Well, you know, I don't really understand. Like, it wasn't even like that they were, I could see it if it was like, okay, they were in last, they were doing fine. And then the puzzle was like their bugaboo. They were doing bad with the lizard. They were doing bad with the gecko, and then they couldn't do the puzzle. And then they were doing bad in the first challenge. So I'm not sure, like, it's not necessarily like they're being outmuscled. It seems like that they're not working together cohesively.
Yeah, it did make me chuckle during the gecko challenge how Jeff was repeatedly like, it is not going to work that way.
Yeah, people love the gecko, Liz. I think they should be getting little gecko merch out here.
Yeah, I think every season should have some type of merch. I think it needs to become a staple of dragging a different type of reptile in the first challenge. So yeah, the marketing team should really get on that.
Yeah, I think that they should. I mean, how hard is it to come up with themes? We love the gecko.
That should be
Gecko Island. That's okay. It's weird. We love it. Like, Jeff's like, no, it's gotta make sense. Like, no, it doesn't. It could just be Gecko Island. We're in.
That should have been one of the themes that Brian Cohen
could get a job working on Survivor if he could just come up with three. Put that on the list.
Also, were they eating rice in the premiere?
Yeah, it looked like it. It's certainly like there's a one scene. I talked about it on Twitter where Banu is like feeding Jelinski with his hands. I said, why does it look like that Banu is feeding Jelinski rice like it's their wedding cake? It's just like shoving it in his mouth. But I'm going to guess it was just like finely chopped coconut. I don't think that they even had the pot at that point, right? Or maybe they got it after the challenge. But no, there's no way that they had rice.
Okay. Because I was like, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
The last thing, Rob, because I know you got to get to other people. I just was wondering about some podcast guests that you used to have pretty regularly on the podcast that haven't been on in a while.
Okay.
Obviously, you don't have to go into
details. I don't mind. I'll go. I'll give it.
Yeah, the first one is PG. She used to be a staple of like.
Yeah, you know what? I think that PG probably hasn't been on with me since I think 41 PG was on with me. But yeah, we could reach out to PG. She was in, I think we saw her in, Brea also. But mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be fun to hear from PG this season.
And then Brett LaBelle.
We haven't had Brett on in a minute. Brett is a very funny guy. We could look into that one also.
Yeah, I was just thinking, especially those two had stood out as people that I felt like for a while were on the podcast every single season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we do like get a lot of people from the recent seasons and people that we, you know, are dying to come on and talk to us. So we try to get a variety of people also. So, all right. Those are good. You know, Brett has always been like, you know, a great friend to me. So, you know, maybe one of these days we'll catch up with him again.
Cool. And then the last person I just wanted to ask, have you ever reached out to Eliza and thought about having her on the podcast?
Yeah, I mean, Eliza over the course of Rob as a podcast has been on quite a bit over the years. So, yeah, we typically don't get her in the rotation, but, you know, it wouldn't be bad for a check in.
Yeah, she's just someone who, you know, I see as has very strong opinions.
She has
about
strong
Survivor.
Opinions. Yes.
So I think she could bring some heat to the.
Oh yeah,
the podcast.
The heat would be a Broughton. Yes, absolutely.
It would be simmering.
Yes, for sure. All right, Liz. Thank
right,
you
Rob,
so
I'll
much.
Let you go.
Okay. All right. Take
thank
care.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Okay. I want to. Let's see. How about? Let me play a voicemail. Just because I just want to show people. Send in your voicemails. robisatwebsite.com/voicemail each week. Also, robisatwebsite.com/survivor questions. You could send in questions as well, but then we'll get back to some people on hold. Okay. Let me play a question. This is from Jeremy has a question. Here is Jeremy.
Hey, Rob. My question is about players referring to themselves as legends, iconic, or just in general calling their shots. I love it when contestants do this. And Franny was saying the other night that players shouldn't. You gotta think it guarantees you more screen time in your boot episode, and in general makes the elimination more fun. I'll take the Jelinskis and the Drew Christies of the world over forgettable, humble contestants like Katrina Radke or Brendan Shapiro. Am I missing something here? Shouldn't we be encouraging this? I bet Jelinski is thinking himself that he's already more memorable than most pre-merge players.
Yeah. This is a good point from Jeremy. I think that a lot of people are like, well, I don't want to look stupid if I end up it ends up not working out and everybody was lying to me. But you know what? Like, YOLO, okay? That better to have things that they put in there that make you look not so good than just getting like a purple edit and then us not even remembering you. You went all the way to Fiji. You might as well have something to take away from it. I think Jelinski was a really good sport about the whole thing. So yeah, I think this is a good point. Call yourself a legend. Why not? Okay. All right. Let's say hi to Bobby's on hold. Hey, Bobby. How are you?
Hi, Rob. I'm good.
What's happening?
Well, I loved Survivor. I feel like, again, we're overwhelmed with how many shows are out.
Reality shows?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, what other shows are? There's other shows. Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't sure if you meant podcasts.
Well, that as well. I mean, that is also all I consume now. My life has changed and I am ruined forever. But I'm happy. I wasn't super. I was listening to the Franny podcast,
mm-hmm.
and I would thought very similarly. I typically, how do I describe this? I love the preseason. Do you know the musical 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee?
I do not.
Okay. The premise
you
is
know, it's a bunch Mike of adults. Bloom?
Yeah, a bunch of adults play children, and they are at a spelling bee, and there's a woman who hosts it. And a recurring theme through is like, it's my favorite moment of the bee. She loves every part of it. And that's how I feel about Survivor. We're in the preseason and I'm like, oh my God, there's so many possibilities. Anything can happen. And then it's like a cold open.
Yeah.
And then it's the monologue of my dreams to give, you know? And it's like, so good. And then I'm sobbing at the Jeff opening monologue. And I wanted to kind of talk about that. And it kind of bleeds into the strategy, but I think how Jeff speaks and sets the tone at the first mat is so important.
Yeah.
Like, and that's like why I loved the themes. Well, I think.
Can I just add something? So I actually recorded a podcast with Mike Bloom earlier today. And I texted Mike last night. I said, hey, Mike, that I know you got the B&B coming up this weekend, but is there any chance that you have stuff from your Fiji notebook that you haven't had the opportunity to dump out? Because Bobby, you know me, there's food that's going to go bad in the refrigerator. Like, I got to eat it by tomorrow. It's like, okay, Mike Bloom has all these stories from Fiji. I'm just worried we're not going to get them into a podcast. So I recorded with Mike Bloom. It's going to be, we're going to put it in the patron feed. Okay. So he can like speak candidly. And so Mike Bloom is going to give me his stories from Fiji.
I love that.
Be on the lookout for that, for the patrons.
Yeah, I'm in a group chat with everyone from the Survivor game that I played in the woods somewhere. And I always send the backstage photos and I'm like, this feels illegal. Like, I love that stuff. So that's going to be really exciting. I'm very happy about that.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt you, Bobby.
Oh my God. I talk. Interrupt me or you won't talk. I loved Jeff's monologue. And I, as a person who's very like, oh my God, Carolyn, Marianne. Like, I, you know, I get it. Yeah. I love to hear that my uniqueness will be good. You know,
yes.
And not like a first boot energy.
Your blind optimism, as Jeff said.
My blind optimism, which I do leaning into the voicemail. Call yourself a legend. Call yourself an icon.
Why not?
I'm somebody has calling to. Myself an idiot. If I'm playing, I'm going to be like, oh no, I'm making all the wrong choices. I think that actually that delusion in a confessional is probably good for your ego out there.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Take it till you make it, Jelinski.
You're on an island in Fiji. Like, things are weird.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I loved that monologue. And I think it bleeds into the strategy of like, you want to be what people expect you are. Your uniqueness, like why you were cast, is a good thing.
Yeah.
And when you deviate from that in the game or you try to hide parts of your personality, I think it sets you up for failure. And I think like this is, there were obviously other factors at play, but Keturah hiding her job, I think that is an element of a removal from yourself that you can't be full.
Right.
And like, and so I think Jelinski in this moment was seen as the like, what are you? Like, if you're going to volunteer to sweat and then you quit, like, what are you doing? And then you go on the deal and we're like, oh, so then he's the schemey guy. Maybe he's a Cody. Maybe he's like the guy who wants to talk to other tribes. And then he folds there. It's like both like Maria and Tevin, I feel like read that as bad energy. And then he goes back and it's bad energy. And I think there's something about playing your archetype really well. And I think that's what Ben is doing. I could not believe.
He's doing great.
Can the draft was low on Ben.
We were low on Ben. I blew it. And I was kind of higher on Jelinski. Yeah.
100% vibes.
Can I give you my Jelinski analogy? Tell me if you think this is apt. Okay. Jelinski was kind of like a adorable rescue puppy. And it's like, okay, let's bring him home. Look at his paws. Oh, he's going to be so good. And you get him in the house and he's tearing everything apart. And they're like, after there's two nights, they're like, all right, we have to take him back. We can't do this, that he is destroying this place.
Interesting. You went dog. I feel like he's such a cat.
Okay.
I would say, I think Jelinski, someone who's like, I watched every season three times, I know the meta, this is my dream. I think you get in your head a little bit too much there. Mm. And I think when you see your tribe and you have Jess spiraling, and like you don't actually have to do much. You don't have to address the meta in this mm-hmm. moment. You yeah. have an exception.
Well, I think that being the super fan, I do think hurt him in terms of like, hey, I need to do everything. It's like I'm in Disney World. I gotta have this. I gotta have this. I'm gonna go. Oh, let me go on the journey. Let me do right. the sweat task. Let me.
And how much did your wife yeah. like that?
No, not good. Let me do. Oh, right. Let me do the. Put me in the puzzle. I'll do the puzzle. Like right. I've been waiting to get here.
I guess I see that, but I think it's like if we went to go on a journey and yep. we get there and it's a game that we've never seen before and you're already thinking outside the box of, I'm not going to lie, I'm going to tell you the truth. That's a red flag to me. And like what you said of like intentionally lying, that's, I'm going to read that. And I'm going to be like, this man intentionally was a bad liar on Survivor. He's 6 foot and kind of scrawny. Why? He has to be a liar. Like I would think, you know, I'm not going to go back and be like, oh, God, this guy's a bad liar. I'm like, this guy thinks he can pull off wow. out of the box thinking. I would just go play the game, have right. fun. It's like a little game night with three friends.
Yeah.
See you later. You know, an right. extra vote. How often does that work?
I would say that's with Steven yesterday about like, you know, if Jelinski lies to you and say, and then you get, you know, snookered by Jelinski. Are you mad at Jelinski or are you mad at yourself?
I'm not mad at all. Why am I on the journey?
Like, it's like, I should have known. He did that thing. I know. I'm kicking myself.
Up. That's what happens. I wake yeah. up. I'm like, oh, God, thank God I don't go on the journey tomorrow. But no, I think doing big box out of the game moves. Yeah. If they're in front of people is weird. I think it's like it shows that you want to play. And I don't think that's good for anyone to know.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I'd rather you just be a person who lies to me in a mini game about having the skull because I was there and I know it was random. Like,
all right.
I don't think you're immoral in some ways.
Yeah. But, all right. But that's not everybody, though.
Well, that probably wouldn't even be me, Rob. I'd probably be spiraling out there, like being like, I don't want to play. I'm so sorry. Like, I can't say.
Stop going on the journey, people. You don't want to go.
Don't go.
More bad comes than good. Okay.
Yeah.
Bobby, anything else?
Not too much. I just think I love the different tribe dynamics. I love Tim's buff and I love him clocking the women. I feel... I loved that also Charlie failed Savvy. I know he didn't intentionally do that, but I think that was really good for his game.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good point. I haven't heard anybody say that yet. That, you know, Charlie comes back. It's like, ace the things? Puzzle. We did it. It's like,
if everyone's getting chopped down, I'm not smart. Yeah. I'm actually.
Well, I think that kind of in 44, I feel like the Carson and Helen did the puzzle. And I think people were like, okay, all right, let me write that down.
Yeah. But even then Carson was slow and it was counting like six rings. It was like, mm-hmm. not. This looked complicated, or like Jenny counting triangles. Like that's threatening to me as like a puzzle, but like,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Bobby,
lose everything is my strategy.
Great. All right. Don't lose our number. Okay.
Yeah. No.
All right. Talk to you later, yeah. Bobby.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye. All right, that's going to do it for our teaser for the first patron feedback show. If you like what you hear, if you'd like to call in sometime, I'd love to talk Survivor with you someday. robisawebsite.com/patron. In the meantime, you can still send in questions for all of our other shows that we do with the guests. And I'll be back on Monday with the kickoff of Club Condo with Chappelle. Be sure to check out everything else in our Survivor podcast feeds this weekend. Thank you for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.